And we need a diversion right now in the world of sports. Tom Barton, Tom Barton Sports. Always great to have him on. Hall of Fame voting revealing nothing. No new electives in place. Thomas, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very good. How you been?
I've been better. I've had better days.
I heard you getting a little agitated. I love it. Listen, I love to hear the passion.
Well, you know what it is? You know, we elect these guys, and they do nothing. You know, a lot of them just do nothing, really. I think they get more out of it by being who they are, as far as the moniker on the desk and the door, you know. But when it comes to accomplishment, they do really nothing. And they get paid pretty well, too, I might add. But you know what? That's going to change because we're going to raise some hell. Diversion, sports, we need it. When it comes to the Hall of Fame stuff, you know I love baseball. I know you do, too. Nobody got in last night. And, of course, the name bandied about was Curt Schilling. Now, listen, character issues come into play. That's part of the situation of the writers of America for baseball. That is part of the equation. If one is eligible to be in and elected. And when it comes to Curt Schilling, you know, many will look at his character, and especially after the latest of events in Washington, him speaking out and supporting on January 6th the events that occurred there. But when it comes to accomplishments on the field, Tom Barton, I think he should have gotten in. What's your take on Curt Schilling?
Well, I have a weird take because I do this every year with the Hall of Fame. My 20-plus year as a sports broadcaster, I am told I have one of the most stringent Hall of Fame ballots. I wouldn't have put anybody in. I think they did the right thing not putting anybody in, but it's not necessarily because of a character issue with me with Curt Schilling. It's just my Hall of Fame should be the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of the Very Good. I believe that if you have to stop and think, if you have to stop for a minute and think, then that guy shouldn't be a Hall of Famer. You know, if you wanted to make different wings of the Hall of Fame, different areas of the Hall of Fame, well, that's fine. But these should be no doubt about it, guys. There shouldn't be a conversation. I heard Todd Helton brought up. Todd Helton was a fantastic player, not a Hall of Famer. Curt Schilling, to me, the postseason was great. Regular season, as I was watching him, I'm going, man, he's really good, not a Hall of Famer. And to give you a little context with Curt Schilling, by the way, he reminds me a lot of Zach Greinke. Zach Greinke we're watching right now. Zach Greinke is a really good pitcher right now. Zach Greinke's going to have a lot of accomplishments that Curt Schilling and a lot of similarities. I don't think Zach Greinke's a Hall of Famer either. So I think the writers got it right, not because I agree why they kept Schilling out, just because I wouldn't have had him in anyway.
I agree with you. You know, now listen, we disagree on the Schilling thing. I think, and you're right. And that's how I grade people. You know, it's not necessarily going over every year of service. You know, I've been watching baseball, you know, listen, a long time. Let's put it that way. Okay. And when I look back at Curt Schilling, I think about 01, winning a World Series against my Yankees as a Diamondback. I look at all the great stuff with the Red Sox, the Bloody Sock, pitching for the Phillies. I mean, this guy, to me, is a winner. Now, he's brainless as far as some of the things he says. I get it. But, you know, it's all about what happens between the lines. So in my estimation, you know, I said, you know what, Schilling's a Hall of Famer. You look at his career and everything else. A lot of people say he compiled and everything. Okay. I also know he won. He won in places. He won in Boston. He won in Arizona. And that's why I declared him a Hall of Famer. But it didn't happen last night. And who knows if it will ever happen. His 10 years are up, correct, Tom?
No, he's got one more year next year. And he has now requested to be removed off of the ballot. He said he realizes that, you know, these writers are the ones choosing. If down the line that his contemporaries and he gets in on the Veterans Committee, he would feel more appreciated than the writers because it's the writers that are against him. He actually asked yesterday to be removed off the ballot for next season.
I mean, you could see the frustration and everything else. Now, with that being said, you got a guy like Roger Clemens, you got a guy like Barry Bonds. Now, listen, we all know the controversies and everything else with the PEDs and everything else. But again, I look between the lines here. To me, they're Hall of Famers. Now, putting all that other stuff aside, I kind of had a change of viewpoint here. regarding these cheaters. You know, to me, Clemens is a Hall of Famer even without the stuff, and so is Bonds. I mean, I remember everything from the Pirate days and everything, and before his head swelled to alarming proportions. I get it. And I mean that figuratively, ladies and gentlemen. But with that being said, these two guys are exceptional as far as their accomplishment. Your feelings, sir, regarding Bonds and Clemens?
I don't think Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, coming up to next year, A-Rod, Ortiz, Manny Ramirez, I don't think any of them should be in the Hall of Fame unless, and here's the unless, you put on their plaque the problem. I think that that is a very fair estimate. You know, oh, look, the morality police shouldn't be the Writers Association. I get that. And you're right, Clemens and Bonds, there shouldn't be a Hall of Fame without them. But they tarnished what baseball held most vital. And what baseball held most vital in the world is records and numbers. There are just numbers. No other sport. I say 56 to you, you know the hitting streak. You used to say 61, you knew it was a home run streak. There are numbers in baseball that are just iconic. And they destroyed that by cheating. There's no way that Bonds and Clemens can be on a plaque, go into the Hall of Fame, and then leave it up to history, leave it up to their fathers, their grandfathers, to go and explain it. It needs to be on the plaque. I have no problem. You want to put Bonds and Clemens in the Hall of Fame tomorrow, and on the bottom of their plaque, after all their accomplishments, it says, was heavily scrutinized because of the steroid era, was kept out of the Hall of Fame for 9 years, 8 years, whatever it might be. I'm on board. But you put them in just because now we're so far removed, well, I have a problem with that.
I don't have an issue with that. You want to put some? I'll tell you one thing. You might, and if anybody's been to Cooperstown, I mean, first of all, I recommend going to Cooperstown. I've been there twice. If you want to put up a separate hallway, a corridor for those who have cheated the game, I'm all for it. You know, that's what it might come down to. Because when it's all said and done, Tom Barton, there are a lot of folks who use the funny stuff as far as the game itself is concerned. So I do not have a problem with that, nor do I have a problem with Pete Rose, because he should be in the Hall of Fame at this point in time. And if you want to label a special plaque for him, I have no problem. What about Pete Rose? Where are you at with that?
Pete Rose should absolutely be in the Hall of Fame because he didn't do anything during his playing career. And it's kind of the same thing with Curt Schilling. I mean, during your playing career, that is the most important portion. We're not putting Pete Rose in because he was a manager. He did something after his playing career. Let's go back and scrutinize every single Hall of Famer and what they did after their playing career. You want to find terrible things that they all did? I'm sure we absolutely can. You know, I think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame as well. And sure, you want to put something there post-playing career. Pete Rose was in trouble with gambling. Put it on his plaque. Let's make sure that the public knows, but you shouldn't keep him out of it. The one thing I do want to say about Barry Bonds is that I believe that he was a Hall of Fame player before time, but he hit legendary, iconic status by cheating. Let's not forget that Barry Bonds had his three highest batting average years after he was cheating. He hit 370 one year, and the man still didn't hit 300. It's an insult to baseball to ever talk about Barry Bonds among the greatest of the greats. And that's the problem that I think that we fall into, is you can't just stare at Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and David Ortiz and all these guys and not look at it and look at their numbers and compare them to the greats of the game that did it cleanly, that did it perfectly okay. So, yeah, I'm not the morality police either. But I think the baseball record book needs to reflect. Look, in the Baseball Hall of Fame, you've been there. They have the dead ball era. And it says, played during the dead ball era. We need to have played during the steroid era.
I think you're right. Put them in. Just label them properly, without question. And a guy who never did it wrong was a man who passed away last week, number 44, Henry Aaron. You know, it doesn't hit you until someone passes, such as the likes of Aaron, because he did it right. And you read the storylines from growing up in Alabama, poor, you know, looking at Jackie Robinson as an idol, couldn't get into the ballpark, didn't have enough money to see Jackie, would climb a tree, overseeing the stadium and watching and only wondering and aspiring to be like a Jackie Robinson. You know, it's an amazing story, Tom. And to see what this guy accomplished in 23 years is, I mean, Henry Aaron, my goodness, you know, the epitome of a professional in every sense of the word.
Yeah, pure class. Absolutely pure class. And what's funny about Hank Aaron is before he died, I've had conversations for years now. I believe that he's one of the most underrated baseball players ever. I mean, and how, think about that. Think about how iconic Hank Aaron is, yet he's underrated. We talk about the greatest 5-10 baseball players of all time. Hank Aaron rarely comes up. It's Williams, it's Mays, it's DiMaggio. It's almost never Hank Aaron. I put Aaron on my list above Willie Mays all the time, and I get a lot of pushback from that. What do you mean? How can you say that? Look, if Hank Aaron never hit a home run, he still has 3,000 hits in his career. I mean, the man wasn't just a power hitter. So, yeah, Hank Aaron passing away, RIP to Hank Aaron, a guy that somehow or another, with his class and his finesse, flew under the radar of the greatest of the greats, but he certainly was one of the greatest of the greats.
Crazy story, too, where he was not far away from playing with the great Willie Mays. It was a $50 differential, folks. $50 as far as a signing bonus. And Aaron elected to go the other way as far as playing with the Braves. I mean, that was a crazy story. Could you imagine an outfield of Henry Aaron, Tom Barna, and Willie Mays? I mean, that wasn't that I didn't realize. I heard that last week. I'm sure you heard that as well. That is unbelievable. It could have been there.
Jay, from a baseball perspective, that's like a dream come true. That's like one of those trades that you hear about where it was going to be DiMaggio for Williams and the perfect swing and the perfect ballpark, and it was written up. The one thing I'll say about Hank Aaron, one of the best things about him, though, is that he was able to do this in the segregated South, in the still very, very racially charged South. Maybe it wouldn't have had the sort of impact, but watching people cheer him and absolutely unite around him and during that point, during that time, in that area, that just added so much more to him.
MLB does a great job, the network. And I was watching a little bit of the 71 All-Star game in Detroit, Reggie Jackson at the Light Tower. I'm sure if you're a baseball aficionado, you have read about it. Unless you were around, you could actually have viewed it. And looking at some of these names during that game, the Vita Blues, the Rod Carews, the Al Kalines, and the Norm Cash. I mean, it's unbelievable, you know, and it just brought me back to the old days of, you know, how the game has changed, you know. I mean, it really is. The Dave Parkers, you know, I mean, not 71, but, you know, it seems like we have changed so much in this game of baseball as far as the overall integrity, not only the integrity of the game, but for people who kind of played it one way, the right way, and those who don't play. It's kind of amazing when you look back on some of these instances from yesteryear, you know?
Yeah, the costs got out of control, and the salaries get out of control. There's no loyalty to a team anymore. We see free agency. Well, it's exciting, but yeah, it really hurts the game and it hurts the fans. There's a story about the New York Yankees, and they were talking to one of the guys. They said, we want the World Series so bad because we have to get that World Series and playoff money so we don't need winter jobs, right? I mean, think about that mentality. How bad you need to win. Why do you have to win so bad? So I don't have to work over the winter because I need that extra money. Nowadays, it doesn't matter, right? You're making $10, $15, $20, $30 million a year. Why would you have loyalty to a team? It doesn't really matter if you win. For most of these guys, it's just kind of secondary. We look at the glory days as being the glory days, but it really was the glory days because it was a completely different idea. It was a completely different concept. And if you think I'm wrong here, guys, Carlos Correa a couple of years ago said winning the World Baseball Classic meant more to him than winning the World Series. I mean, that's just the mentality of some people nowadays. They have money in their pocket, they're playing a game, they enjoy it, But their team, well, their team is just who happens to be playing for, as opposed to that I must win mentality.
But Tom, I got about 2 minutes. Fast forward here. The Mets, new owner, Sandy Alderson back. Francisco Lindor, he is in place. The Mets on the rise. A lot of people wanted to see Realmuto here. Not the case. They got James McCann. So the Mets, you know, it's kind of an interesting feel. I think they're going to be okay. You got a good feeling with this team going into this season?
You know, you have to like what they did with Lindor, and especially Carrasco. I think Carrasco is the piece that people are missing. I love it. But I'll tell you, go get Bauer. Because all I heard all offseason was things were different in New York. You said it. We're going to get Realmuto, landed McCann. Well, George Springer's our guy. We're outbid for him. Now they're after Bauer. If they get outbid for Bauer or they don't get him, that's three huge, high-profile free agents that you lost on. Now, getting Lindor and Carrasco is great, but those were trades. I want to see this owner go out there and get the guys that they need to go get. The guy you say, I want, go get him. Right now, they lost out on Realmuto, and they lost out on Springer. If they lose out on Barrow, that's a trifecta that you just don't want to walk into.
Listen, I got questions with Bauer as far as mentality in New York. I don't know if he can handle it, but we'll see. Why did the Yankees play hardball, no pun intended, with DJ Lemieux? 5 years, Lemieux? 5 years, $90 million, Tom. Why not give him the $100 million, 5 years, end the nonsense? Why did it take so long?
I think because they knew they were going to win it. Yeah, not a lot of guys out there right now, as good as the Realmuto is going to be, want to pay somebody till they're 38 years old. They knew that their cash and their money is going to be probably as attractive as everybody else is out there. It's not like DJ LeMay, who's a bad player. It's just when he capped himself into that range of 90, 100 million for 5 years at 33 years old, you're only bidding against two or three other teams. I think the Yankees were very smart to do what they did with him. I understand they didn't want to give him that 6 year and they didn't want to go over $100 million. Well, they got their way in both cases. Maybe you could say, you know what, you're playing a little dangerous there, a little too much fire. But I think the Yankees won in the end, and so you can't really get down on them. If LeMay was playing somewhere else, I'd be screaming like you were in the last segment here. But they're not. So you sit back, you go, okay, I guess they did the right thing.
Well, my fear was the guy who was $14 billion in his account, and that's Steve Cohen. You know, he could have went cross town. That would have been beyond devastating. Final one. April the 1st, the expected start of this upcoming season. Do you see that being on time, or is it going to be delayed? Where are you at with this for the upcoming?
I think it's insane that they're trying to get 162 games in. I think that they're going to be on time. I do. I think that they're going to open up on time, but I can't imagine 162 being realistic. Look at the NBA. All but six teams have had a delay so far. In Major League Baseball, there's no buffer. There's no delays. You can't go out there and take a team away for a week. What are you going to do, play doubleheaders every week? So I think they really have to revisit the 162 if they do go on time. If they don't go on time, you know what? You still should revisit the 162. I think 140 is a reasonable number, but I do think they are going to be scheduled right around the right point and or the right time. And they're going to go that first week, and I think what is a bigger concern is how many games they'll play this year.
Politicians have been lobbying, possibly, for a month's delay. Maricopa County and the caseload per day of COVID is alarming. We shall see. Sir, always, and I mean that, always a pleasure to have you. I'm going to have you on more frequently, and hopefully maybe we can during the upcoming. But we thank you for all, and good luck and stay safe. Tom Barton Sports. Tom, thanks so much for a couple here.
Thank you very much, Jay. It's always good to be on. Go check out sportsgarten.com.
There you go, sportsgarten.com with a T, correct?
With a T. We got a huge football show for you this week.
Sportsgarten.com. We will highlight that continuously. Thank you, Thomas. Appreciate it all.
Thank you. Good day.